What's your favorite day of the week? Favorite day, who's got one?
Any day that ends in Y.
Nice. You know, there's always one in the group. There's always one. Well, that's an excellent answer. Thank you. Thank you. How about another? Who has a favorite day?
Every day's favorite when you're retired.
Okay, well, that's hopeful thinking. I love that, Judy. That's excellent.
I like Sundays.
Sunday, why? Who said that? Oh, Pam, yes. What's Sunday? Family day.
Family dinner. Yeah, whoever we can.
Excellent. Good. Somebody else have a favorite? You must have one.
Friday, because it's the weekend.
Yeah, Friday for the weekend. Oh my gosh, thank goodness it's Friday. Absolutely. Because Fridays usher in the weekend, unless of course you're on the weekend shift. In which case Fridays are probably not your favorite day of the week. You know, anybody have Monday as a favorite day of the week? What's that? New start and new challenges. Absolutely. You know, the calendar that we have, our calendar, has been going on for a long time. And people way smarter than us start it, keep track of it. And we're so glad for that, because if it depended on us, on when we get up and when we don't get up and all of that, I'm sure we would not have any idea what day of the week it is. How many times do you look at the watch on your wrist? Check the time on your phone. How many times do you just love going by the bank that tells you the time? You know, I hope none of you actually go to the bank to see what time it is. But I think probably, possibly, some of you may. But I do know that in the early church, or the early times, the Jewish people always got together for worship on what day of the week? Which is the? That's right, the Sabbath day. It's the last day of the week, right? And we know they meant it as the last day of the week, because we know that day was set aside by God. God said, you need to commemorate the day that I rested. Isn't that great? Somebody else does all the work and we get to take a break. I think that's good news right there. But our Jewish friends celebrate their worship day on Saturday, the end of the week. So what they say, sort of symbolically, is a sort of a metaphor for life. That you work all week long, creative energy, creative things happen. We just invest ourselves in every waking moment. And then on Saturday is the day our Jewish friends break for a special day of praise and worship. And they kind of reconcile themselves to the week that preceded. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, what day of the week was that?
Sunday.
On Sunday. And that's what day of the week? First day of the week, right? First day of the week. So what was going on at the last day of that week? Jesus died, right? Jesus died at the end of the week, again, commemorating, if you will, God's creative work in sending us a Savior. And the Savior ended that week of creativity, dying on the cross for us. Jesus did not die for himself. And so again, we have somebody doing the work for us. Except this time, when the early Christians got together, Jesus also said, you know, hey, hang out together. Visit with one another. And because the church started on a Sunday, on the first day of the week, Christians have been getting together on the first day of the week ever since. The first day of the week. Is it sort of what you were saying? What's ahead? You get ready for what lies ahead. And so as followers of Jesus, we aren't going at the end of the week and taking a break. We actually start our week of activity and creative work by worship. And that worship isn't a time just to relax and sort of regroup. Partly it is. But it's more of a time to become energized and to be equipped for what lies ahead. We're not doing wrap-up today on last week. We are preparing for the week ahead. So when we say, in the connection, I say it a lot, we say it on our website, if you are looking for spiritual energy, if you're looking for a way to supercharge your week, I don't have people show up on Saturdays. Well, we're here for historic ancestor tours, which, if you have not taken one, is totally awesome. But it's actually, we don't worship on Saturday. We're not doing wrap-up. We're doing the startup. And Sundays is the startup day of the week. And so the church ever since has done that. So Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. And Jesus invites the people to consider his words. This is one of the longest chapters in the New Testament, John chapter 6. I hope you're not tiring of the image of Jesus as the bread of life. If nothing else, you now know that Jesus is the bread of life, because if you missed any of the last five Sundays, and now you're here today, you've got it. And if you happen to miss one in between, you've got it. That Jesus said he is the bread of life. And when he said this, in many, many different ways here, he says, my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. What an awful image. But Jesus is speaking of his body and blood that were going to be sacrificed. He's not literally talking about a meal. He's talking about being nourished. He's talking about being what our spirits hunger for. That it's not in a practice like show up at church on Sundays and then you'll be fed spiritually. You may be fed spiritually, but the fact that you're here today would mean nothing if we did not experience the bread of life together. You see, it's the bread of life that brings nourishment, not just the practice of being good, doing good, showing up where you need to be, following your schedule, being on time, doing the things God has asked you to do. All of those things are important, but they aren't the core value, which is Jesus is the core value. Participating in Jesus' life is the core value. Jesus said the ancestors ate manna. Remember the manna, the food in the wilderness? God provided again for us. All we had to do was go around and pick it up. And commented, and people later died, naturally, because that food was only for the body. But what Jesus offers is something more. Now, if you heard these words for the first time, it's probably even hard to imagine. Because we've been hearing about the bread of life just for years, your whole life. But when Jesus said these words, I am the bread of life, they took offense at him. So mad. They started to grumble and complain. They started to say to one another, who is this that speaks with such authority? Jesus came from the town of Nazareth? How could anything good come from Nazareth? He does what for a living? A carpenter? Well, what possible wisdom would come from a carpenter? They just probably, in our language, would have bullied him if he was on the playground. That they just did not understand that when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he wasn't making something up. He wasn't trying to impress them to make friends. He was simply stating a fact that Jesus provides our spiritual nourishment. And they took offense at him, even to the point where it says, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you too? And Jesus asked, do you want to leave? Or in another way, are you leaving too soon? We don't know exactly all the answers. We know that the 12 all said yes, and of course many others said yes to Jesus. But also, that was sort of a check-in time. There might have been people that afternoon who, having heard Jesus for the numerous times saying he is the bread of life, they said, enough is enough. How could Jesus provide for our spiritual nourishment? I can't possibly believe this. And they just walk away. You know, Jesus is the bread for the world. Jesus is the person who offers himself for everyone. Jesus invites all of us to faith, regardless if we don't even have faith. Our little faith, we think we have a lot of faith. I don't have as much faith as I used to. Or maybe you'd say, I have so much more. Wherever we are in our spiritual journey, Jesus just steps right in and says, I have the nourishment you need to complete your journey. We are not coming to a Saturday, we're meeting on a Sunday, and we have a whole week ahead, a whole month ahead, a whole year ahead. And the question is, do we believe that Jesus will satisfy what we need for our spiritual hunger to equip us for the spiritual work ahead? Now, my guess is that all of us are going to make quick exit this morning, and we're going to head right to that hospitality table. And I am very grateful, although Melissa is again home with the family this weekend, that she's going to love when I bring home some of the gluten-free items on our table today. I know Jane Peacock will like that too, some gluten-free items. Maybe some of you others are appreciate that when people accommodate your special dietary needs. But whether you join us at the hospitality table, hit McDonald's, or perhaps that leftover from last night, all of us are going to feed our bodies today. And we're mindful of many others, even in our community, that don't have enough food to eat. But how many of us really see that Sunday morning is really a time to feed our spirit, that Bible study is a time to feed our spirit, gathering together with friends, even friends, just getting together with friends, is a way to feed our spirit, to nourish our life. You know, it's been difficult for almost every single Christian over these past weeks as we have seen the investigations with the Roman Catholic Church and the priest abuse come out with all their awful and sordid and terrible tragic details. It's hard for us to imagine that the bread of life, who's given for all, was abused in such a way. In fact, some of us from time to time might even think, when we see that bully on the playground, and many of these priests were nothing more than bullies, abusers, bullies. When we see a bully in action, as I was speaking with the children, yeah, we could walk away and we'd feel better. We don't want to fight today and we just want to pretend it didn't happen. We have lots of defensive mechanisms. I was encouraging the children, though, to take a stand and at least tell an adult that something's going on, because it's unacceptable. Bullying is unacceptable. But sometimes, even the best of us can look at a bully and say, you know, I'm going right over there, I'm going to punch him right out. Because we don't like it when other people get bullied. We don't like it when other people are mistreated. And some of us know that when an abuser or a murderer or someone else just does a terrible, terrible thing, we just, my goodness, if I was the judge, I would just... And we kind of rile up within ourselves. And this is why over the last week or two, we've been talking about the dangers of when we feel contempt for someone. How awful that is for our system, that we don't want to feel contempt, but sometimes it's hard not to just wish people got what they deserved. What would happen if we got what we deserved? Now, on the scale of things, we may feel like we're like miles removed from filling our newspapers lately with the terrible news. But imagine how our Roman Catholic friends are feeling, knowing, while they may never have had an experience like that, that they are part of a church that condoned those behaviors, that they were the ones, some people in power, observed the bad behavior and walked away. Walking away condones behavior. Now, we may not mean it that way. You know, we might, oh, I'm just going to get out of here because that looks like that's not good on the playground, and we just kind of want to, I just don't want anything to do with that. And while that's understandable, if everybody walks away, then the bullying continues and people are affected. And not only that, but of course, not only is the victim affected, but the victim's families are affected. And what about the families of the abusers? What about our friends, say, in the Roman Catholic Church, since this is it's all about that investigation in Pennsylvania, how they must feel going to Mass today, realizing that people of their sect of faith, their practice of faith, totally not only misinterpreted and misexpressed, but they abused their Christian faith. And people suffered. Kids suffered. Children suffered. Well, this is where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I can feed and nourish your spiritual needs. Do you have some fear for retaliation? Are you kind of afraid that you just wish everything bad would happen to bad people? Totally understandable. Jesus understands those feelings. But Jesus invites us, be nourished on my bread. Be nourished on what makes my body and blood that died for you, that made new life possible, that you don't need to feel or responsible for retaliation to set everything right. Jesus said, I've set everything right. I will take care of everything. And so our hearts break for those who are affected by these terrible crimes. But we must also pray that people would find forgiveness and hope, that families who have suffered will find compassion, consolation. And why the armor of God that Paul writes to the Ephesians about is so important. We read those words from Ephesians that Barbara read for us this morning. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He's thinking, imagining a Roman soldier there, all decked out in all their glory. And what I like, my favorite part, actually, are the shoes. It's the shoes that let you run. They're not just mud shoes to get you through tough times. They're running shoes. And they're the running shoes in the armor of God. It's described as the person who has good news. You know, that's our job today. Our job is not to ignore the bad news. Our job is to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who mourn, to celebrate justice being done, to work hard for justice, not to walk away, not to condone, but to report to authority, to recognize and respect everyone, and to know that we have a part to play. We are not alone. That we are members of a community, members of a family, members of a nation, members of a world, and all of us have responsibility to stand up for each other. That we can encourage each other and to help each other get out of predicament and pain when it happens to them. Even if it's just calling the doctor for someone who's shut in. I'm fine, I'm not going to call. Well, you know, maybe you could call for them. Maybe you could reach out and bring something over. I don't need anything. Well, go do it. And what's the worst that could happen? All of us are called, Jesus said, to be his body and blood for others, to be spiritually nourished, so that we can spiritually nourish others. What's our favorite day of the week? Well, our favorite day of the week is Sunday. And our favorite day is Sunday because that's the day we pause. Every day is a day to be rejuvenated, to be spiritually nourished. But Sunday, that's the day the team gets together in the locker room because the game is up ahead. All of us have been invited to play. And none of us, oddly enough, are just spectators. That our faith is a real life experience. And that we should pray for our friends, our Roman Catholic friends, who suffer in so many different ways. We should pray for people and families that are affected. People who are families of the abusers who are even just hearing about these things and just are aghast at what has happened. But we also stand for justice and for hope, for children who are suffering the abuse of family members or even a political system that seems so unfair, for immigrants that are so often mistreated, for people who don't get medical attention they deserve, for people in our own communities who are looking for hope. We've got our feet clad with the good news of the gospel of peace today. So we talked about walking in one another's shoes a few weeks back. Well, I got a new pair of shoes for you. And it's the shoes of the gospel of peace. Where can you bring peace? Where can you run and not grow weary? Where can you go and bring a word of encouragement? Oh, I bet you're thinking of places. Wherever God sends you this week, that's where you'll be. And that Jesus is the one who nourishes you. You don't need anything else physical for your journey, but spiritually, you need to equip yourself. Though some disciples will grumble, some will complain. Ask yourself, what have you complained about lately? What have you grumbled about lately? Well, maybe if we focus on the mission ahead, Jesus wants to equip us for the work ahead. And Jesus asks, leaving so soon? No way. We're going to meet again and again because the road up ahead is perfectly tall for a mercy and peace. In Jesus' name, let us pray.